episode of the Envision Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Gagan, and this week we're going to be talking about language learning apps. So we've talked a lot about accessibility on the podcast, and especially web accessibility. But nowadays, a lot of people aren't using browsers as much, and if they are, it's on a mobile device, so like a phone or a tablet, even a smartwatch if you have one. So I feel like it's really important to talk about actual mobile accessibility. And something that I personally have had a lot of problems with recently is actually language learning apps. So I'm sure that you've heard of language learning apps like Duolingo, Babbel, Rosetta Stone. There's a lot of them. And you would think they should be fairly accessible, because in reality, it's mainly just text and audio. But I have spent quite a while now using different language learning apps and different websites, and you wouldn't believe, honestly, how ridiculous it is. And some of these apps have millions and millions, tens of millions, even hundreds of millions of downloads. They have, I don't know exactly how many subscribers a month, but a lot. You know, like Duolingo, I'm sure has thousands or 100,000s, maybe even millions of paying subscribers a month. You know, they have a team of developers. Same with, you know, other websites and apps like Babbel. Like, it's not like they're small companies that don't have much money or they have a very small user base. It's huge, big international companies who are supposed to be making these apps to help people learn languages, which is really important. But somebody like me, who's blind, actually can't use almost any of them. I mean, obviously, learning a language has a lot of benefits. Whether it be personally, because you just want to learn a new language, as far as I'm aware, it's actually just good for you and your brain to keep learning things. It might be for your career, it might be for your family, it might be for a job. You know, you might be moving to Spain, for example, so you need to learn Spanish. Obviously, you know, a lot of people probably speak English in Spain, but I mean, it's Spain, so you should probably learn Spanish if you're going to move to Spain. Well, if you have a disability, then you're probably out of luck. And it does depend a little bit, but it's honestly a really huge problem. These language learning apps are honestly the main way of learning a new language nowadays. And yeah, you could go and you could take a course somewhere, you could pay a tutor or whatever, but it's way more expensive. Some of these apps are free, actually, like Duolingo does have a free tier. Or you could go out and pay a lot of money for, I said, a private tutor, or actually take a course, or, you know, whatever it might be. You could watch YouTube videos, but that's not as interactive, in my opinion. You know, so these are kind of the main way of learning languages for most people anyway, who don't want to spend a lot of money on it. And by a lot of money, I don't mean, you know, you don't want to spend any money, but you don't want to spend hundreds or thousands just, you know, learning a new language. You know, so it's really important that these language learning apps are accessible, because if you do want to learn a language, that's probably how you're going to try and do it, at least at first. So when these apps aren't accessible, it's not only limiting people from learning languages. What it's actually doing is meaning that unless you want to pay a lot more to learn a language just because you have a disability, well, then you probably just can't learn the language. Here in Ireland, around 22% of the population has a disability, and that has actually increased, I believe almost doubled over the past six-ish years, which is a fairly interesting statistic in itself. But that means that around 22% of the population, as I said, has a disability. So that's over 1.1 million people here in Ireland. And just, you know, if we apply that on a global scale, let's just say it's 20%, roughly, right? That's, what, 1.6 billion people or so? Like, that is how many people could be stopped from learning a language. And 1.6 billion people, like, that's a lot of people. That is, I said, 20% of the whole world that could be stopped from learning a second language, or maybe even just improving their first language. You know, and I feel like that is a bit ridiculous, that that many people would be stopped from being able to get a better job, being able to communicate with a family member better, being able to move somewhere just because they want to. even just improve themselves, you know, learn something new. You can't, unless you want to pay a lot extra. So just like with websites, there are fairly common problems that will kind of occur on mobile apps. And a lot of them are the same as what will occur on websites. So honestly, again, there's no real excuse. It's not like the internet is new or websites are new or there aren't standards for any of these things, because there are and there have been for quite a while. So let's go through some of them like we have done before, right? So for people who are visually impaired, there can be lack of screen reader compatibility. The Babbel app, for example, up until very recently, if I tried to open that with my screen reader on, it would not work at all. I would get nothing from my screen reader until I closed the app. Duolingo. All the lessons, for example, are unlabeled. Completely unlabeled. I couldn't tell what lesson was what. It would read me the section headings, I believe, but that's it. Most of the stuff, and the most important stuff, just didn't work at all. People who can see a little bit, there's poor color contrast. So that's when the color of the text, for example, might not be super visible because the color of the background might be quite similar to it, or the colors just don't contrast very well. One that I encounter all the time is missing image descriptions. So on a lot of language apps, they'll have a picture of bread, for example, and they'll say, "What is this?" And they'll give you four options, and you know, it'll be a few different things, whether it be in Spanish or Italian or whatever language you're learning. And you're supposed to pick based on the picture. But I have never come across a picture that has been labeled. So when I do it on Babbel, for example, I'm learning Spanish personally. So the answer they want is pan, right? So bread. And I actually have to listen to the answer. So I kind of have to cheat just to be able to answer the question. Or I have to ask my wife, "What is this picture of?" In order to actually be able to do it, which is, again, absolutely stupid. How hard is it to put some alt text on an image? You're already putting the rest of the text and the rest of the answers there. Is it really that much effort to put the word bread on the image? Because I honestly don't think it is. For people with hearing impairments, I mean, absence of closed captions for audio lessons, lack of alternative text for different sound effects and things like that. Missing visual cues for spoken instructions. Even on Babbel again. So they'll have these lessons where you have to listen to the kind of, it's not a sentence, it's a conversation. And it'll be in multiple parts. And each one is audio. And they do have a text version of this, but you don't get to pick. It just gives you one. And to be fair, in some language learning apps, you can turn off these audio descriptions. I believe on Duolingo, you can make it so that you don't have to speak or you don't have to listen and it will just do text. But obviously that is not universal. And even then, honestly, it's still lacking quite a lot. But yeah, in situations like that where they give you an audio kind of conversation to listen to and then you have to answer questions based on it, they're impossible to do if you can hear because they don't give you the text version. So you're kind of just stuck. For people with learning disabilities, I mean, there is almost no customization options in these for adjusting text size or spacing. They don't have text-to-speech functionality. They don't let you kind of break things down into smaller chunks or anything like that. A lot of the time, the user interfaces are quite unfriendly and they'll have small buttons and they don't have voice commands to help you navigate the app. There are so many examples that I could talk about here that could all be fixed by pretty basic stuff. You have an image, okay, add some alt text. You have an audio lesson, either give me the ability to disable that so that I don't have to listen to them, or let me pick if I want to read the text version. Again, they're already going to have the text for all these things written out. So why not just let me pick? Let me say, "Oh, I want to listen to the audio," or "I want to look at the text." Whatever it is, again, they already have it there because they have to if they're getting this as part of the lesson. So, you know, it's not a big deal to be able to let people pick or let people say, actually, I want to increase the font size. Actually, I want to change the background color. Like, these are all things that are totally possible and that are done on other apps and other websites, and it is not a problem at all. And as I mentioned, this is not just random language learning apps. These are real apps like Duolingo and Babbel. And they are, you know, two of the biggest language learning apps. And you might be saying, oh, well, I thought you said that you use Babbel. And I do. I use the website because I can't use the app. And the website is pretty accessible. But even then, it's not. You know, there's still some unlabeled buttons. For example, when it wants you to complete a sentence, sometimes there'll be spaces in that sentence. And for me, when it has the space character, it just says button. Or when you're doing a written question, so when they want you to write in the answer, you can show a hint. And that will show you like all the letters that are contained in the answer, and they'll just be in a random order. But I can't tell where one word starts and the other word ends. It just is a big jumble of letters, which essentially makes it seem pretty useless to me. Because, I mean, I'm not going to be able to tell what the words are, so it's basically as useful as not having that at all. There are so many examples like that. And that's just for me, you know, who's blind. I've never used these as somebody who's deaf. I've just come across things where I'm like, oh, well, if you were deaf, actually, what are you supposed to do here? You know? So I can guarantee you there's even more problems that I'm mentioning here. And there's more than I am mentioning, because I'm not going to sit here for 2 hours and talk to it every single time I've had a problem with a language learning app. But it should really go to show how big of a deal this is and how unusable they can be. If I wanted to learn a language by myself, I don't know if I could. You know, if I couldn't say to my wife, oh, hey, actually, what's this picture? Oh, hey, could you click this unlabeled button for me? Because I can't. Oh, hey, they updated it and now I don't know where anything is anymore, and they haven't labeled this or they haven't labeled that, or I can't get to this dialogue anymore. What am I supposed to do? I mean, I guess I've just wasted my money because, you know, I wouldn't be able to use the app or the website anymore, which is absolutely ridiculous. You know, and I found myself more recently, I don't pay for things. So let's say I come across a really cool app or a really cool website, and it's like, oh yeah, it's, you know, however much, but there's no free trial. I'm not even gonna give it a chance. Like, it's really unlikely that I'm gonna try it out if I can't get a free trial, because I might pay for it. And, you know, I might start using it. And turns out it's completely inaccessible. And yeah, maybe they have a refund policy and maybe I can get a refund. But do I really want to go through all that hassle of talking to the customer service, explaining to them what a screen reader is, because a lot of them don't know, telling them about accessibility, that I can't use their app. And they ask me for, as I mentioned on LinkedIn, they ask me for screenshots of the problems. And I'm like, I can't screenshot a problem like that. That's not possible. You know, it's honestly really just demotivating. Even this doesn't just apply to language learning apps, and I'm talking to this because it's a very simple example, but it could apply to any app, and especially any learning app. Like, if you want to learn how to code, oh, good luck if you want to try and use an app for that and you have a disability. Good luck. Whether it's not working with screen readers or whatever it might be, it's going to be a big problem. The solutions to a lot of these problems comes back to stuff that we talk about all the time. And it might seem a little bit repetitive, but like, that's because it is. Every time I have to email somebody and tell them, hey, your website's not accessible. Hey, your app's not accessible. Hey, you know, you need to fix this, whatever. Even Google, like, I was trying to sort out my Google Ads account because there's something wrong with it. And I couldn't do that by myself. I couldn't, because their form is completely inaccessible. Like, it's really demotivating and really upsetting when I can't use basic things, you know? And I said, yeah, we're talking about language learning apps, but I said it even applies to companies like Google or Microsoft. You know, even using Google Docs, I mean, it's gotten way better, but it used to be such a pain if you were trying to use it with a screen reader. Like, I don't know why this is still a problem. Like, again, these are all the same solutions that we've talked about before. So, for example, following the exact same guidelines that I've mentioned before, so it's WCAG, right? The WCAG guidelines. And I kind of like to say the actual letters because I feel like everybody pronounces slightly differently, and that makes it really clear what you need to look into. But again, those guidelines tell you exactly what you need to do. They give you, I mean, guidelines as to how to do it. There's all sorts of tools that will tell you if you meet the guidelines or if you don't, whether it be color contrast checkers like the one I talked about last week with Trevor, where you can just install a browser extension and just drag and drop these little dots, and it'll tell you whether the color contrast is good enough or not. You know, like, it's honestly nothing crazy. You know, like, adding a description to an image takes you 3 seconds, literally, maybe less. Obviously, if it's a complicated image, it might take you a little bit more time. But if you don't want to write a description, ask Google Gemini or ChatGPT to do it. I actually did that recently on a LinkedIn post. I was posting about how people use browsers more on mobile phones now and why you should really prioritize accessibility for your websites for mobile. And I had a chart as part of that post, and I can't see the chart. So I used Google Gemini to generate alt text for that because, well, okay, the chart was from a website and then we had a screenshot of the chart, right? But obviously I can't see the screenshot, so it's a bit hard for me to describe it. So I gave that to Google Gemini and I said, generate some alt text for this. And it generated some alt text. It was absolutely fantastic. It conveyed everything that I needed it to. So again, there's no excuse. Even if you're going to say, oh, well, I don't know what to write. Oh, I'm not sure. Like, Google Gemini is free. You know, you can go on there and use it for free right now. Bing, Microsoft Copilot, I think it's actually called. Again, there's a free version. You have no excuse. All you have to do is go to the website, put in the image, and say, generate some alt text. You don't even have to look at the image. Honestly, you don't even have to double check the alt text. Like, you should, to make sure that it's right. But honestly, anything would be better than nothing at this point. You know? Like, again, things like closed captions, adjustable text size, and voice commands. Those, a little bit more complicated. But again, things like transcripts for audio, like, if you don't feel like doing that, which you probably already have it if you've been recording audio, again, AI will do it for you. The episodes that I had with Trevor, we recorded those through Google Meet, right? And Google Meet actually generated a transcript with timestamps, who was speaking, what they said. And as far as I remember from reading through it, it was very accurate. I'm talking 98, 99% accurate. That is way better than nothing. On those audio lessons that Babbel has, if they just generated an AI-like version of the text, it would be way better than nothing. You know, and obviously for companies like Babbel, honestly, they can probably afford to have somebody, you know, just manually put that in there, as I said, given that they probably already have it. But for other app developers who maybe can't, I mean, I said, it's as easy as just getting Gemini or Copilot to do it. So, you know, where people used to be able to have the excuse of, oh, I don't know what to write. Oh, even I don't know how to add alt text. Just Google it. Ask Google Gemini. You know, if you ask Google Gemini, how do I add alt text on LinkedIn, for example, it'll tell you exactly where to go to do it. You know, even if you do have a question about a feature, you know, or, you know, anything like that, you can obviously ask Google Gemini. Ask it, hey, you know, how can I make this icon have a name for screen readers? Whatever it might be. There's also, obviously, screen readers that you can use to test. If you're on Android, you can turn on TalkBack. If you're on Windows, you can turn on, like, Narrator. You can install NVDA. Again, these are all free, you know, and they're all, at least a lot of them are now built in, you know. So if you really do care and you want to make things a bit better, all you have to do is go turn on one setting, see if it works, and that's it. I feel like I said, that's honestly something that people kind of forget is how easy it is. And I'm not saying that, oh, like there's no excuse because, you know, I'm giving out to people. I'm saying there's no excuse because it's that easy. Like, I could easily say, oh, well, actually, I couldn't see that chart, so it has no alt text because I didn't want to write it and I couldn't tell it was an image. But like, no, I was like, okay, I mean, obviously, if I came across this post, I'd want there to be alt text, so better have some than none. So I added some. I mean, like, other language learning apps, right? I said, there aren't really many accessible ones. The one that I use is Babbel. But I said, I can't even use the app. And now, the past few days, I said it, I said, I have actually been able to use it. I haven't fully gone through and tried to use it thoroughly yet, like, since they last updated it, but it does seem a lot better. Duolingo, I said, has had problems and has actually gotten worse. It actually used to work a lot better than it does now, but now it's pretty unusable, to be honest with you. Like, there are honestly not really any good examples of accessible language learning apps, which is really sad. And even the, like, brand new ones that are supposedly really good and, you know, are the best way to learn languages or whatever the ads might tell you, like, they're not accessible at all. Even their websites, a lot of them aren't accessible. So I suppose if you're looking for one, I would recommend giving Babbel a try. Babbel doesn't really have a free trial. They do have, I think it's like a 21-day money-back guarantee or whatever if you're not happy. So that made me feel a bit better about trying it out. And it's pretty accessible. Is it perfect? No. But is it better than any of the other ones that I've tried? By far. I use it every single day. And even those questions where there aren't images, for example, it's not most of them, you know. Is it a bit annoying? Sure. But it's either that or I can't learn a language. Or I have to, you know, pay somebody to teach me how to learn a language. The key takeaways from this episode are essentially, if you aren't disabled and you're using a language learning app and, you know, you think you found an accessibility problem, leave a review. You know, let the developer know. Send them an email. You know, if you think they're doing a great job with accessibility, leave them a review, a positive one. You know, tell them that they're doing a good job. If you have a disability, I mean, basically the same thing. You know, when I came across a language learning app that wasn't accessible, I left it a 1-star review. I told people to avoid it. You know, even if it is good for learning languages, it's not something that we should support. I know that might sound ridiculous. It's like, oh, well, it's good for me. You know, it works perfectly fine for me. Yeah, but do you really want to support a company or an app that doesn't work for 1.6 billion people? Because I know that I don't, you know. And yeah, just because maybe an app works fine for me, but if it doesn't work fine for people who are deaf, then I don't know if I really want to use it. You know, do I really want to kind of, I don't want to say encourage that, but you know what I mean. So I think it's really important to kind of support the apps and developers that are doing a good job, and obviously when we can, to not support the ones that aren't or who don't care. So that's going to be it for this week's episode. As always, I've been your host, Paul Gagan. This is the Envision Tech Podcast, and I will see you all next week.